Blog Talk Radio.
I'm in the house, I'm in Baltimore, we rocking with Real Radio, because the only radio that I would ever rock would be Real Radio. Let's go.
Good morning. Good morning, family. Good morning. We're back. What's the word? What's the word? It's been a little while, hasn't it? Dig it. It's not every week that one of your good friends, this is actually the second time in my life, has decided they're going to run for the United States Congress. The first time was for our one and only Mr. Vegas himself, Rodney Smith. But this call around, it's Angela Jeter. Angela Jeter declared her candidacy for Tim Scott's seat in the United States Congress on Thursday of this week. And we're going to have her on a little bit later. She's going to join us so we can have that conversation with her and talk about what she sees and hopes for the future of South Carolina. Good morning, Brother Rodney. What's the word?
Good morning, Brother Lee. Man, that is the word, because that dude, Tim Scott, notice I didn't say that, brother. That dude, Tim Scott, needs to go. And I'm glad that you had the sister on previously to discuss it. And South Carolinians need you all to do the right thing.
Yeah, push that button for the right name, not the wrong name, but that's a different story for a different time. So today, basically, I'm going to get off topic for a second because that's what I do. But we wanted to talk about South Carolina, Texas, the latest jobs report, which was abysmal. But why was it abysmal? Really want to dig into that.
Did you say abysmal? Did you say that?
It was
abysmal.
Yeah, it was abysmal. It was horrible. Straight horrible. But I wanted to continue the conversation that Rodney, you and I had off air Rodney posted something on Facebook yesterday. I'm pretty sure he got it from somebody else. But it could have been from his mind because he's just wise like that. It was a message about, you know, the friends that you have that rarely speak, and it asked them to say where you met at. I normally don't do stuff like that, and for a number of reasons. First off, I'm still a very private person. I know. I do this, I do that. I'm very much in the public eye, but I'm still a private person. And there are people that I know, which Rodney and I, we talked about when I was in Vegas. Angela and I spoke about last night because I was just, you know, name dropping. She was like, oh, how the fuck do you know people? I was like, yo, it's convoluted. Like, I know a lot of people. I really do, as Rodney is quick to remind me. But, and that's not being braggadocious. It's just being factual, right? The point, though, is as you go through that exercise and people do come in and they comment and they remind you of how you met and that first experience or whatever, it was a really good ride, Rodney, down memory lane, bro. I mean, it really was. Like my man Mayo, shout out to my man Mayo. I'll talk about Mayo every now and again. D and I met New Year's Eve, 93. Yeah, New Year's Eve, 93. So we were going into 94, but it was still 93, right? So there was a young lady that is still hella attractive. I mean, she was gorgeous. And I was on her, and D was on her. Now, you know how we do, right? Still reserved and shy, right? So D is like spitting game, and I'm in the cut like, yo, I can't let this lame get this chick. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not going to happen. So we had a little competition going on because when he turned, I would swoop in. When I turned, he would swoop in. But it was like real cool. Like, got to talking to the cat. He's from Brooklyn. Okay, that's what's up. So it's the New York connect. So, you know, we start building on that. And he's stationed in London. So I start coming through every now and again, running into him more and more. We start talking, you know, on purpose. You know what I'm saying? We're bumping, again, one into one another here and there. So we start hanging out a little bit. I leave. He still stays. I get to my next duty station in Alabama. I'm in the gym working out. Now, you know, that's a rarity in and of itself. But I'm in the gym working out. I see this cat. And I'm like, damn, this dude looks familiar. Not thinking about it too tough. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. So I walk out. He comes behind me. So we're pushing the doors around the same time. I'm like, damn, bro, you look familiar. He was like, yeah, you look kind of familiar too. So we get to rapping. And he's like, oh, shit, that's my man. So we hanging out. He's down there at TDY, and we hanging out. And we're driving on the street. And I'll never forget it because the street had my last name. It's Vaughn Road. So we chilling. We just cruising, and we just talking. And I was like, oh, slow down. He was like, what's wrong? I was like, yo, the speed limit is 40 miles an hour. And he was like, what? On this highway? And I bugged out. He bugged out. Because in the UK, a strip like that would have definitely been considered highway. And it definitely would have given you the national speed limit, which was 60 miles an hour. So, you know, lo and behold, we've kept in touch ever since. He got married in Florida. I went to his wedding. He got stationed in Andrews. Obviously, I live in Baltimore now, so back and forth, we hanging out doing our thing. And we've been tight ever since. You know, we're not sick as thieves, but we are extremely tight. Like, when I went to London a couple of years ago, I called him out of the blue because his kids still live over. So I grabbed the phone, called him. He's like, son, I'm going home. He's like, when? I said, yo, I'm going in, like, 3 weeks, blah, blah, blah. He's like, yo, I'll meet you over there. I'm like, that's what's up. Hung up the phone. The brother met me over there. he was like, yo, I'm going to get us rooms at the Moxie. We're going to be straight. We're going to be chilling. I'm like, okay, that's what's up. He got us rooms at the Moxie. I walked in, checked in, paid with my little card. You know what I'm saying? He was already in his room. It was bananas. We hanging out in London like like it was 20-something years ago, you know? But him and cats that I was in basic training with and cats that I was in high school with, I'm getting my feet done Monday, just passed. And the young lady that does my feet, we went to high school together. So her son comes in. So, you know, that's nephew. So we talking trash, you know, reminiscing and stuff. And she was like, yo. My nephew said, so, oh, I said, what's up? He said, man, was my mom popular in high school? And I was like, well, yeah, you know, she was popular, but, you know, nobody really knew me. And she was like, yo, shut up. Everybody knew you. I was like, how did people know me? I honestly, Rodney, I still don't get it. I do not understand how people know me. I really don't. Because in my head, I'm the cat that's sitting in the back just chilling. So she's like, yo, you knew you could have been valedictorian, right? I was like, yeah, but I honestly feared being the valedictorian because I knew what would have come with it. And I already had enough offers on my plate, and I didn't think I was strong enough to say no to them all. So I had already had a scholarship offer going to Johns Hopkins. And I had a job working for the IRS, and I had something else going on. And, you know, I was like, good Lord. You know what I'm saying? How much can a young brother say? I was 17 years old when I graduated from high school. You know what I'm saying? So I'm making real-life decisions, saying no to all these things in order for me to go into the Air Force. But I knew that I always wanted to go into the Air Force. So I put my focus into that, and I just pressed on. You know what I'm saying? And she was like, oh, I can dig it. I can dig it. And I was like, you know, the thing that I regret, though, is not understanding the flexibility I could have had I not stayed in my trade. I should have gotten out of my trade and either went into nursing college or electricity. Because with the nursing and cosmetology, when I graduated from high school, I would have had an associate degree at the same time. With the electrician, I could have gotten a job like you, Rodney, and I could have been one of the few of the brave. You know what I'm saying? So I do regret that. I think that looking back on it now, had I taken either the nursing or the cosmetology route, I would have stayed home, done the other 2 years, finished the four years, got my bachelor's, and then went in as an officer. But I never thought to that degree and to that level. For me, getting in the military was the prize. I never thought about retiring. I never thought about what the hell I was going to do after I got in, to be honest with you. Honestly, I thought it was going to be hard for me to get the hell in. So for me, just to get in was the ultimate. And then when I got in, I was like, okay, well, what am I going to do now? And I had no clue. And I got stuck in, you know. But I had a great ride, you know. Not many people can say before they turned 25, they had seen 3/4 of the world. I can say that. Not many people can say before they turned 25 that they were in places literally enjoying life in places that they only read about, heard about, or may not even dreamt about because they thought it was outside of their scope. I can say I did all those things. Not many people can say that they did some of the other things that I did at such a young age. And, you know, I can say those things. Not out loud so much because, you know, there's still statues around some of those things. But yeah, I know that I did those things. And amongst the people that I did those things, we can have that conversation. It's like filling in the blanks for you all, family, so you're not confused, like, this dude's just gone crazy. No, I haven't. Rodney and I took a ride when I was in Vegas, and we went to Nellis Air Force Base. I'd always wanted to go to Nellis Air Force Base. I mean, it was definitely on my to-do list, right? Never had been on the base. So he took me there, and we're riding around. He was like, yeah, man, this is that. And throughout the conversation, nothing was ever finalized because with him, too, there's a lot of things that he cannot speak about. So it was like, yeah, I worked there. I'm like, Okay, when's your birthday? Well, you know, one point in my career. Okay, got you. And I let it be. But, you know, it's a beautiful thing to be one of the few to have done some things that we've done. You know what I'm saying? So definitely I don't regret what I did. I don't regret how I did it. But there are times when I look back and like, I could have done a little differently. And the results, I think, would have been, I don't want to say much more better, but I think they would have just been a little more fruitful. But, again, there's not a lot of regret there because I had a hell of a time. So getting back to the exercise, you know, thank you to everyone whom chimed in thus far and who will continue to chime in and, you know, remind me of when, where, and how we met, because I'm starting to become an old man now, and, you know, sometimes those memories fade, and it's important to, for me at least, it's important for me to remember those connections, to honor those connections, and really, really enjoy this thing that we call life, to be honest with you, man. I mean, it's a very short thing, if you think about it. 20 years, 30 years can go by like that. A friend sent me a message right before we went live. She says, yo, is it a reunion this year? And I was like, not that I'm aware of. So she's like, oh, okay, because, you know, this is, you know, we're coming up on 30 years and blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, you're right. But because of the pandemic, a lot of stuff has been put on hold. So I'm looking at hopefully looking to get conversation started about doing something next year, maybe the year after. But 30 years, man, where were you at 30 years ago? What were you doing? You know, who were you with? And just remembering that stuff in vivid detail and being able to smile about it or laugh about it or, hell, maybe even cry about it if it was that moving. It's important, you know. Whenever I get an opportunity to interact with the folks that have known me since my life has changed from adolescence to adulthood, especially in the infantile stages of that, I love it. I love sitting back and listening to them talk about me and remind me of how I used to be and how much I've changed. And normally at the end of it, it's, you know, boy, I'm proud of you because, shit, you were wild as hell, you know. Hey, man, I'm proud of me too because it was a lot. But, you know, it's youth. That's you. It's a lot you got to get out in your youth. And I got a lot of it out. I got a lot of it out. Without a doubt, I got a lot of it out. But it was necessary, you know, in order for me to change the chapter and to ready anew for this day and be able to come to you all and have conversations like this and build on those and from those and take things of real sustenance back to the community and broad and near and utilize that knowledge or information to change somebody or that's not necessarily change, but show folks that there's another way. My mentee called me out of the blue on Thursday. He called me out of the blue on Thursday. And he says to me, he says, man, I really need to talk to you. And I was like, what's going on? He said, I have a new manager, a new terminal manager. And he came in and he was having a group session with all the other managers. And he asked this question that really hit me. He asked, who has a mentor? And believe it or not, I was the only person in the room that said, me. He said, dog, I never even thought about it like that until he said something. So, you know, he was breaking down what a mentor does and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, yo, that's Lee. Like, Lee has been my mentor for years. And when he came around to ask me and I said, yes. And he was like, for real? And he said, yes. Like, I've had a mentor for years. And, you know, he said, I walked out of that meeting, and I was like, dog, I just had to call you and thank you. You know, I never put it together, but I appreciate everything you've ever done, said to me, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, hey, man, it's my responsibility to help you get to where you want slash need to be. Now, if I don't do that, then I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do at all. My charge is I got mine. Now I got to make sure everybody else gets this. Because it's funny, this master sergeant said this to me once upon a time. He says, I want to make sure everybody around me has more than me. Because I'm happy with my shit. So if everyone around me has more than me, they ain't trying to come and take my shit. And I was like, yo, that makes a whole lot of sense. A whole lot of sense. And I've lived by that mantra pretty much ever since. And it's paid off. You know, I've been very fortunate. I've been very blessed, if you will, to do something that I really enjoy doing. I've been able to help a lot of people, you know, and some of them, it didn't look like that in the beginning, but later on it was like, wow, you know, hey man, I appreciate you firing me. You know, I needed to wake up. I needed to realize that it was not all about me, or I was not the greatest, or I, whatever. And once you did it, I really had to sit. I had no choice but to sit back and really look at myself. I'm like, okay, what you going through? I ran into a cat that I fired a couple of years ago, but I ran into him a couple of weeks ago. We're at the Costco, and I'm walking out, and he's standing in the parking lot. I asked him how he was doing. He was like, "I'm good." And it's like, you know, what you doing now? He said. He told me what he was doing. He said, "Man, I love it." You know, and I'm so thankful that I was given the opportunity to pursue this opportunity. I was like, hey, that's what's up, man. That's what's up. You know, sometimes a shaking up is exactly what we need. Now, speaking of that, and I'm waiting for Angela to come, so I don't want to get too ahead of myself. I'm looking forward to this race that she's going to run in South Carolina. And folks, if her name is Angela Jeter. That's G as in golf, E-R. Look her up. Google her. She's running for U.S. Senate and from the great state of South Carolina. I have said for years that South Carolina is very high on my radar, not only because I had family, but well, I still have family living there, but I see it as that the next great explosive state, meaning there are going to be only but so many more people to move to North Carolina. There are going to be only so many more people to move to Georgia. And right in the middle is South Carolina. So South Carolina is due for a breakout. It really is due for a breakout. Now, rather the politicians in the state allow for the breakout to happen, different story. But South Carolina is due for a breakout. And when it breaks out, I truly believe that it is going to be a gold mine for those who get in on the ground level. And I say that because relative to both North Carolina and South Carolina, I'm sorry, in Georgia, home prices are still extremely cheap. Land prices are still extremely cheap in South Carolina. So you go down there, you buy yourself a nice little piece, and you build up on it or you build out on it, whatever. You know, you can really do well for yourself with a low-dollar investment, relatively speaking, obviously, a low-dollar investment, and, you know, passing things on to your to your heirs. You know, heirs' land is a big saying, especially when you go down south. And I just see it happening, man. I see it happening. I see, as we talk about this infrastructure bill and the build-out that Amtrak is expecting and the build-out that Maglev is expecting. So, you know, you run a route from Atlanta to Charlotte, right? It has to pass through South Carolina. If you're on that line in South Carolina, oh, good Lord, you sit on a bed. You are sitting on a bed. You put a little convenience store somewhere there. You put a gas station somewhere there. You're sitting on a mint. You are sitting on a mint. And I see it coming, again, sooner rather than later, because there are only but so many people that are going to continue to move to Georgia. There are only but so many people that are continue to move to North Carolina. At some point, it's just going to get either too expensive or too saturated. And people are going to look for someplace else. And, you know, Tennessee is benefiting from that to a degree. I think people are moving from Atlanta and going to Tennessee. Not just the Chrisleys, but I think the Chrisleys show people the way. I see South Carolina being that next jumping off point, though. I really, really do. You know, now, one of the issues, obviously, again, is infrastructure. And Rodney, do you think that the president and the vice president are going to have as tough of a fight getting the infrastructure bill passed as Moscow Mitch is squawking like he's going to?
Unfortunately, I think that there's going to be difficulty because of the closeness in the Senate. And even though they have, you know, it's basically split with the vice president being the president of the Senate, who cast a tie-breaking vote on votes that just need a simple majority. You would think that that should be easy for the Democrats because they have the vice president to break the tie. Well, unfortunately, you probably heard this week that there's a Democratic House seat in Texas. I think it's Texas. It's either Texas or Florida. That's not going to be filled, which puts the Democrats one seat down in the House. And so those little things chip away. The Senate itself is tight because of what we said, the 50-50 split. And then you have people like Joe Manchin, that's a Democrat. I think he's in West Virginia. But, you know, sometimes he sounds like he's supporting the other side. So, unfortunately for President Biden, I do think he's going to have some issues because he's going to have some issues in his own caucus with people like Joe Manchin. And, you know, it's already tied in the Senate, and it's getting tighter in the House.
Well, these special have not really helped either. They have, unfortunately, well, it's the same bird, different wings, but the most recent one I recall went to a Republican, which made it tighter. I think it's two or three seats that separate a 50-50 split in the House at this point. I'm sorry. And then due to geographical shifts, not geographical, that's not the word, I'm sorry. Population shifts in California is due to, yeah, demographic, thank you. California is due to lose a couple of seats. Texas is going to pick up a couple. Ohio is due to lose a seat or two. I can't remember the numbers right off the top of my head, to be honest with you. But I do know that those are the states that are due to lose some. So the migration is happening again back to the South. So, you know, we all had a great migration from the South to the North, but now the migration trend is turning the opposite way. People are leaving the North once again and going to the South. And I don't understand that trend to just because of the history of the South, but, you know, to each their own. I know weather is a huge part of it for a lot of people. Taxes is part of it for other people. The cost of living in general is a part of it for other people. But, you know, that cost of living jive is old and antiquated, to be honest with you. because it's just as expensive now to live down south than it is other places. Housing prices might be cheaper, but when you get to food and just other taxes for this and other taxes for that, it pretty much winds up being the same. However, you can get more money for your dollar. So, hey, enjoy it. Some things that are sticking out to me are, you know, Texas just passed the no permit handgun carry law. South Carolina has a similar law in the state legislature. They have a Republican-controlled legislature from the governor on down to both houses, both chambers of their state legislature. So that seems like it's going to go through as well. South Carolina is putting forth the firing squad coming back. Well, actually, no, that already came back. I'm sorry. That is official. So when you look at stuff like that, that's the stuff that put pause. That's the stuff that puts pause in me. I'm like, I don't know. When you look at the first 48, I tell people that all the time, like, why don't you want to live down south? Look at the first 48, fool. Where are most of those damn shows taped at? Well, most of the murders are carried where? Down south. There's signs, you know. You ain't got to be the most 2020-esque person to see the signs. There's signs that say, we don't want your ass here. And I'm good on that. I don't want to be where I ain't want it. You know, but that's okay. But we want you with us. So if you got some comments, if you got some questions, call us at 818-691-7348. Again, that's 818-691-7348. Rodney, the brother that opened up the 7-Eleven, the first black-owned 7-Eleven in Nevada. Where is it at?
Right.
Where is it at?
You know, Lee, I have seen the story, and I have not read the story yet, so I'm not able to get that info to you. I will say this. I'm very happy that the brother did it. He beat me to the punch. That was actually my plan, was because we don't have a black-owned gas station in the
okay.
state. And I thought that if I opened up a 7-Eleven, that would give us a black-owned service station. So
okay.
that was the thing. So I'm very happy that he did it because we need it. I'll get the info, though, and pass it on because that's pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, that's
it's
huge.
It's sad, though, at the same time, that this is 2021 and it's just happening now.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's in Vegas. Yeah, it's in Vegas after 7 years of planning. Wow.
Oh, it's definitely
wow,
in Vegas.
That's crazy.
And that's,
East Tropicana Ave.
That's where it would be.
East Tropicana Ave.
Oh, it's in a little bit of the southeast portion of the valley, not too far from the
mm-hmm. Right, not too far at all. Hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, that's bananas. You know, were you able to take care of the sister yesterday with the award and everything?
Yes, sir, and got the pictures to show it. I just haven't sent them to you yet, and she was very happy to receive it. You know, a little bit about the award. What made it really stand out for her is that with the work that she does in creating that museum, the African American History Museum and Research Center, she did that out of her own pocket, out of her house.
Mm.
And she didn't get recognized. As a matter of fact, to be quite honest, our city council person is actually building a Black History Museum that does not include her.
Yeah.
So all of these years, she's put the work in to archive information, meet people, hear the stories, very much like me. And now, and she's asked our elected official for years to help. They didn't.
Yeah,
some of the same things she was asking for, they wouldn't do for her. But now they're doing for, we'll say, others. And, it hurt her a little bit. It hurt her a lot. As a matter of fact, it hurt me because I saw the effort that she put in. And I visited her house. The museum is taking over her house. Plus, she has the museum. And, there was another group. I belong to the Samuel L. Smith Education Foundation. And
Rodney, I lost you for a minute, brother.
It's okay. I know that you're doing some moving around out there,
and the signal might not be the greatest where you are, but I'll give you a second to get back here. Anyhow, I asked a question on Facebook. The question was and is, if you're a business owner or a hiring manager, are you having a tough time hiring people right now? That question came out of a discussion that we had when we were doing the Black Wall Street Awards in Vegas, because the chef at her restaurant, she was saying that she was having problems getting staff. And I had noted that from other folks that I know, especially restaurateurs, whom echoed the exact same thing. One of the things that had been cropping up about the unemployment rate, or the reason that folks have been filing for unemployment so much, is that the relief bills for COVID have been paying folks extra money to stay at home. Well, here's my issue. And this is really, really, really gets my goat and pisses me off. So you're saying folks are being lazy for staying home. I'm saying folks are being smart for staying home. Folks are being smart because they're making more damn money sitting at home than you pay them to come to work every damn day. Now, how does that sound? How does that look? How does that make sense? So me going to work, and I'm working 40, 50, 60 hours a week, but I'm making less money than I'm making by sitting home and collecting a benefit that I've already paid into. Now, understand something. This is not about taking advantage of government. At least, well, I can't say that. To some people, it probably is. I don't think most people, though, are looking at this as, I'm just going to take advantage of this as long as possible. I think most people are really making a smart life decision. Like, why would you not ride that train for as long as you can ride it, stack up on your chips, pay down your debt, make some investments, whatever, versus going out here again 5 days a week, 6 days a week, 7 days a week, whatever, 10, 12, 14-hour days, and earning less than you're making when your ass was just sitting at home. That makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. So I go out here and I punch a clock and I grind and I work my ass off, but you're going to pay me less than I would make if I was just sitting at home. How respectful is that to your employees? There's a chicken crisis going on right now, and one of the issues is that the workers are there. Well, why aren't the workers there? Because the workers are getting paid more to sit at home. Okay, well, why are we – the question should be, why are we not paying our workers more? That should be the damn question. Not, we need to automate. No, that's an excuse for you not to hire people. Yo, we've been talking about a war on work for years on this show. Please pay attention to the shit that we talk about. It's not just to fill up space to take over these 2 hours and fill in the dots. This is about giving you useful and impactful information. There is a war on work. There is a war on labor. And this opportunity folks are going to take to automate, to keep your ass from coming back to getting a job. Now, some people are never going to get a job again because they started their own business and they found ways to make their own money. Awesome. That's what's up. But there's a lot of people out here that are going to be unemployed for a very long time. I got responses to that question about why it's so hard to find folks to fill jobs. I got responses like, you know, folks are phobic of the virus and they don't want to be around people, so they're sitting home till they think the all is clear. I can get with that. I can understand that. But again, I think that is a smaller portion than anything. In some states, you're getting paid more to sit at home than you would have made when you were at work. Again, smaller portion than anything. I think most people were either tired of their damn job from the giddy up and they're looking for something else, or not. So, Ronnie, what's your take on that?
So I do believe that some jobs just aren't coming back because automation has taken those jobs. COVID-19 may have accelerated the process, but the process was accelerated already because of the threat of the $15 an hour wage increase, which should have been done a long time ago. So, yes, there are some jobs that are not coming back. I agree with you as far as people who are still concerned about COVID-19. Look, I'm still concerned with COVID-19, and I had both of my inoculations, and that's because of these super variants that are being created partially because of the southeast portion of this country not willing to wear masks and vaccine hesitancy. As a matter of fact, we just got the news, or at least I just heard about it yesterday, about the role that the Russians were playing in disinformation, not just misinformation, but disinformation in the African-American community as well as others, spreading falsehoods that, for whatever reason, we tend to pick up and run with. So there's vaccine hesitancy or people who just haven't had the vaccine yet. You know, that's going to play a major role. And when you think about the South, corridor, a huge chunk of people, and as you mentioned earlier, is growing.
Huge.
Which I thought
huge.
Was going to be a good thing. That's turning out to be a little bit of a bad thing because of the gerrymandering that has happened and that's about to happen in places like Texas that gained those 2 congressional seats. That's 2 less congressional seats for the Democrats for the moment anyway. So, now, there are new jobs that are being created because, you know, Amazon had created its own lane, which has quadrupled because of people being home ordering stuff. If you look at what's happening with the hiring in grocery stores, you know, so labor jobs are still labor jobs. And there's a great need. There's a great need for Grubhub, you know, drivers, things like that. And some of those changes are going to stay. But I say the biggest threat is not COVID-19. The biggest threat is not vaccine hesitancy. The biggest threat to jobs, just pure jobs, is the rapid advancement of technology. Technology is designed to eliminate jobs.
Yeah.
That's just a reality.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, folks are more than willing to flex it because, you know, you don't have to pay technology benefits. Technology doesn't need a day off. I mean, if the machine breaks, you fix it and you press on, but how often is it going to break? How often is it going to be late? Offense is going to call out. Machines don't get pregnant. Machines don't get COVID. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that output that a machine can do is killer. You know, when you compare it to the output of a person. So that's definitely something to that will continue to trend up in the near future and in the not-so-near future, to be honest with you, because it makes fiscal sense for investors. It makes fiscal sense for companies. You know, Amazon did the stores that require nobody at them whatsoever. Now, I saw my first one in the airport, and there was nobody in the store, but there was one person outside of it, obviously, making sure that people don't steal. But that was one person for an entire store that they had in the airport. That's it. The other stores in the airport usually have about two people in them, you know, which is one store. One person for an entire store. It definitely works. You know, people are especially in the U.S., are getting more comfortable with their phones, using their phones to purchase stuff. You know, that's old technology. Heck, Rodney, when we were in Korea, they had that. You could walk into your phone in Korea, swipe your phone, and get a soda. You know, and that was 97, 98. You know, we're just getting to the point where we're swiping our phones and buying some vending machines and stuff like that. And it's going to do nothing but increase. Your phone is basically going to be your life in the next 10 to 20 years. Like, there's almost nothing that you will not be able to do with your phone in the next 10 to 20 years. Almost nothing. It can't buy you food with it, but other than that, you know, there's going to be very little that you cannot do with your phone in the next 10 to 20 years.
So with the advancement of technology also comes opportunity for those who are positioned to take advantage of it. And so to me, that's the real name of the game right now for especially those on the lower economic rung. And I give President Biden credit for pushing that free community college, even though he wasn't really for it when he was running. But that was a Bernie Sanders thing. But that's going to be huge. People who cannot afford it would be just totally locked out of some of the advancements, even with some trades that are coming up. So we need boldness, and we need boldness now.
Fair enough. Definitely fair enough. Definitely fair enough. Angela has yet to hop on. I was hoping she was going to be here by now.
I know you got a hot show with Angela, because after Tim Scott's performance in the GOP, the GOFP's response, that's Rando Fascist Party, after Tim Scott's performance in that, man, I thought the end, I could feel the planet moving from all of the ancestors turning over in their grave. And then having the nerve to say that America wasn't a racist country, I immediately thought of your show with Angela, and she and I were chatting, and I was asking her, was she looking at running against Scott, or was she looking at running against Graham? And I said, both of them, to me, need to go, but of course she can only run against one. But after Tim Scott's performance, I said, all right, sister, I don't like seeing sisters and brothers going head-to-head like that. But first of all, he lost his brother card, if he ever had his brother card. And sister, I'm with you 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been able to read him. I mean, I'm not a South Carolina resident, so I don't know his full story, but he needs to go. Of course, McConnell still needs to go. Lindsey needs to go. This Ron DeSantis needs to go. What's the boy in Texas? I can see him. Cruz. Yeah, he needs to go. I mean, it's time, man. It's just time for some of these old, tired pillars, I want to say, against change to go about their way. I mean, Ted Cruz, he started off his political career. I thought I could respect him. And he's just, the words that I want to say, I don't want to say. I want to be good. I want to be good because tomorrow is Mother's Day, and somebody's daughter I want to be able to kiss. I don't know whose daughter it is yet, but I want to be able to kiss somebody's daughter's mouth. So I'm trying not to have my mouth just all, you know, messed up with garbage and whatnot. But, yeah, I'm trying to be nice because I'm trying to find something positive to say about these cats. You know, there's room and there's place. There's a place for a difference of opinion. I respect your conservativeness. I respect you being a conservative. I respect that. But this other stuff that these jokers are on, yeah, it needs to go. It needs to exit left, stage right with the swiftness, to be honest with you. McConnell coming out the other day and saying, you know, their main focus, again, this is what he said, their main focus is to stop this president. Come on, man. We need to work together in order to better our nation. Again, we're not all looking at it from the same lens. Fine. We're not going to agree with everything. Fine. But that's what governing is about. Governing is about finding the common ground, building from it, and then working our way to a middle on our uncommon ground. It's not just I'm steadfast, stuck in the mud, I'm not moving whatsoever, which is what these dudes are doing. That's exactly what these dudes are doing. You know, we're not moving no matter what. Come on. How can we be a better nation? How can we be a better society if the alleged best of us, because that's what our representatives are supposed to be, the alleged best of us are behaving like that?
Come on. I think we got to be honest about the so-called best of us and stop calling them the best of us, because they are not. And I know it was aspirational, as you mentioned it. But,
right,
you know, the time for nicety, gentility is over. The truth is the Republican Party, and I'm not even a Democrat. I'm a nonpartisan. I have issues with the Democrats, but right now the Democrats see an opportunity, and so the Democrats are riding that wave, and I'm with them because it is the wave of righteousness for the most part right now. But I know that they can flip on us black people
on
a New York minute. In a New York minute, they will do it. There's history of it. So, and that's why we also cannot be complacent and just fall in dim, and let them do what they want, because single-party rule is not a good thing for a democracy, because single-party rule turns into an autocracy. So we need at least another viable party. The Republican Party is not trying to be a viable party for the nation. The Republican Party is turning into a regional political faction, not even a party, because they're not doing the will of their own people. Otherwise, they would be pushing the vaccine. They would be pushing mask wearing. They would be pushing, hey, let's keep people inside as long as possible. They would be pushing, let's get the people's the stimulus money. They would be pushing Medicare for all. They would be pushing some of these people-centric things. And we also have to realize that the Republicans have not won the majority vote in this country in a long time, a long time. So the country has been going in a different direction. You know, nationally, we've been going in a different direction for a long time because of the gerrymandering that the grand fascist party has done. They have empowered themselves to continually be in these positions, and us taking the ball off of the influence of state parties, because it's not Mitch McConnell that's the biggest threat to America recovering. It's actually state legislatures which are the biggest threat, which are controlled. The majority of states have fascist legislators right now. And the reason why I'm mentioning fascist is because we have to start calling these people who they are. And even when you said it's supposed to be about, you know, finding like common ground, it's supposed to be a marketplace of ideas. Yes, suppose is the operative word here, because it has not been that in at least 16 years. It has not been that. And because it has not been that, it's been just opposition. I'm against you because you're not me, which is not the way we're supposed to govern. So we have to call them. And let's be clear. There is no, just like when said both sides, in other words, the fascists were good people. There's good people on both sides. There is nothing good about fascism, period. And so let's get rid of that false concept. There is nothing good about fascism. Fascism is the scourge of the world, wherever it has been, wherever it is, and wherever it will be. And I don't know if you know that the Nevada State Party has gone full white supremacist, Proud Boy, fascism, chauvinism. It's gone that way. And now they're trying to take over the Clark County Republican Party, which is the biggest contingent of Republicans here in the state. So, and this is happening in other states. This is real talk here. One of the things that I'm hoping Angela will address is, what are we going to do? You know, we keep calling them white supremacists. We keep calling them terrorists. We keep calling them alt-right. Let's call them what they really are. They are terrorists and terrorist enablers, which goes directly against the United States Constitution. And they need to be routed, extricated out of the military. They need to be extricated out of the United States House of Representatives, the United States Senate, and just as the Constitution says, out of any other elected office in the land. That's in the Constitution. So I hope Angela's on. I'm not able to see it, because this is something that needs to be addressed. My final thought on this, Lee, when I ran for Congress, they were having a debate with us, and they asked the question, I mentioned this on the show before, they said, what do you believe the biggest threat is to America? And some people said Russia, some people said Iran, some people said North Korea, right? And I said white supremacy. I said white supremacy is the biggest threat to this country, and it's also the biggest threat to the world. Today, if you listen to the intelligence chiefs, what do they say the biggest threat to this country is? That's right. Here's the other piece. They have yet to declare white supremacy. They have yet to declare the Ku Klux Klan, the Proud Boys. They have yet to declare them as terrorists. But they've declared as terrorists something that doesn't even really exist. They have declared Black Lives Matter, BLM, as associates of Antifa and therefore should be treated the same. That's what they've done. President Biden, if you hear me, Angela, if you're coming on and you got a direct line to the press, please remind him that black identity extremists are enemies of the state. And Lee, that's people like you and me by definition. Even black people believe in having their own banks fall under black identity extremists. But people who are wearing pointy hats and now they wear khakis and carry tiki torches, cultural appropriation, right? They have not been declared terrorists, and they attack the capital of the United States. They have the nerve to walk around with Blue Lives Matter flags on, right? And they stab a fellow officer with one of those same flags and with a United States flag and gouged another officer's eye out. These people are enemies of democracy, and most importantly, for now in the conversation, they are terrorists, should be deemed as terrorists, and just like we spent $1 trillion because of the attacks on 9/11, what are we doing now really to get rid of the biggest threat to America, democracy, the great experiment? What do we do? Have we even identified them? We're still having arguments on, well, can we even teach it in our schools? We better get with the program. We better get with it quick because they're moving quick. And the move, when people say, Rodney, why are you buying so many bullets and why are you getting guns? Well, look, these people have declared war on us. We didn't declare war on them. And did you see how many guns they had at those state houses? Did you see the violence that they perpetrated at the United States Capitol? These are enemies of democracy. They're enemies of America. They declared they're enemies of black people. And we need to start acting like who they are to prepare because they're coming. And they even told us they're coming back.
The jobs report was 266,000 jobs added in the month of April, well below the 800,000 to 1 million estimated jobs. Now, that adds to despair. That adds to people being anxious to and hanging on every word coming out of D.C. That adds to people being uneasy about policies that they think will directly impact them or hanging on every word of every policy that they and thinking that it's a strike against them. You know, Biden has kept to the word of 45, believe it or not, in this whole hocus pocus about America First. And he is riding that train, and you know, he's doing it with some swagger, and not getting a lot of pushback from it. And I think it's because that most people outside of the room think that you know he's still one of the adults in the room, so they trust him to push the envelope just far enough, but not too far to piss other people off. Other people, more specifically, being China. However, we are at a point where, again, going back to where I was about 5-10 minutes ago, Rodney, before you got off, and I definitely appreciate your commentary. This war on work and understanding how we need to change our focus as to you know, what the job situation is going to be like, be it entrepreneurship or, you know, working for someone. We need not take our eye off that ball because business is what makes America go around, without a doubt. And if we are going to be a player in this nation, we have to be a part of the economy. So we have to, at all times, as you said earlier, Rodney, and I appreciate this, when you said you had the idea of putting the 7-Eleven in Vegas, we have to find innovative ways to make sure that we are a part of it, not just for the now, but for the future, and that we're looking, constantly looking to the future so that we can stay plugged in as this thing hums and drums. As far as the threat to our democracy, I do not disagree with you at all. The military made the stance of the young man that was in the National Guard. They kicked him out. He was one of the attackers, raiders on the nation's capital. There are others that will, I think, will follow suit in short order. And it's the right thing to do. You know, Angela, in her acceptance speech, said a couple times that she is willing to take the oath of office. And as she took the oath of office when she became an airman, to defend this country against enemies, both foreign and domestic. And she harped on that domestic part quite a few times, you know. It's not American to do what those folks did. You know, you can protest. That there's nothing wrong with protesting. But to attack the nation's capital because you didn't like what the majority of the citizens chose is not American. It's not American. Not at all. You know, I've said plenty of times, you know, freedom isn't free, nor is the freedom of expression. It's not free. They went too far. They need to be labeled. There needs to be laws on the books that have real teeth that are enforced to go after these folks when they commit atrocities, when they commit offenses, then needs to be some legal statutes that they can be prosecuted for. And that really hasn't even taken effect as of yet. I don't know what the hell Congress is waiting on. But this is the same Congress that can't all agree that today is Saturday, even though they're looking at the calendar and the date. You know, but again, I made that plea early in the show. We need to get back to being able to work together. We don't have to like everything that the other person says. We don't have to support everything that the other person says. We need to find those things in the middle, which we all agree upon, and then build out from there. That's what we need to get back to. Because this sticking out in the mud, I'm not going to move no matter what, is not helpful. It bleeds out from the halls of the Senate, the halls of the House, the chambers of the Supreme Court, the walls of the Oval, into the nation. And it sends signals to the people in the nation, this is what we want, this is what we're about, this is what you need to do in order to save yourself. Save yourself from who? There's nothing but a bunch of old white people, for the most part, that are sitting up on the hills of Congress. Who the hell are you saving yourself from? Who's coming? Who's invading? Who's taking your guns away? Old white people. So, but they're the same ones telling you you need to protect yourself from who? Them. Don't get it. Don't understand it. Never will. Never will. Never will. But I do understand it. It's a smoke and mirror trip to trick. I'm sorry, not trip. Smoke and mirror trick so that you're not paying attention to the money that they're siphoning off and putting in their coffers. They're putting in their back pockets. That's what it is. That's what it's all about. So you don't ask questions, so you don't press them about why they haven't lived up to the promises that they told you they were going to do in order to get your vote. Now they come in, oh, you need to fear this one, you need to fear that one, worry about this, worry about that. All that's all about you don't have to worry about me. So you don't worry about them. So you're not focusing on them. You're focused on everything and everybody else except for them. You say there's a library. We got a stop sign. That's not a library, Cat. How do we go from getting a library to a stop sign? You know, you said you were going to Washington and you were going to do this and the third. Your name is not on their bill about any of this. What happened? Oh, I'll get to do it next term. Reelect me. No. At least put your name on something. At least put your name on something. Sponsor something. At least try. We're not doing that. And you said a single party rule is definitely not good for the country. Absolutely. I believe in a third party. And I've said, and I'll say it again, if I haven't said it in public, I'll say it again. I believe this election cycle, we will have a for real show enough third party candidate. A for real show enough. Not just, you know, a paper puppet or someone who flashes up a couple of advertisements in the 12 o'clock hour or the 1 o'clock hour. I'm talking about someone who's on primetime television giving speeches, exciting the nation because this person, female, male, is running down the middle and is giving the American public what they need. Not what they want to hear, but what they need. A true option. A true option. Someone to challenge the status quo of this DNR, R&D back and forth. And we need that. We need it desperately. Because folks on both sides of the aisle have taken all of their constituents for granted. They think because they are, they're going to get reelected. They don't have to work to get them. They don't have to earn your vote. They have to come through every now and again, make a little speech, show up at a little town hall, go back to D.C. Yeah, I'm good. Show them a face. That's all they need. There's no respect for the power of the vote right now. We need to get back to that.
Lee, you know who respects the power of the vote? The grand old fascist party, the Republican Party. They respect the power of the vote. That's why they're trying to restrict the vote of black people, the votes of other people of color. That's why they're trying to make it illegal to give somebody water as they're standing on an overly long voting line because they reduce the amount of places that you can go vote. Well, supply and demand, right? If you have less places to go vote, that means there's going to be more places where you do go to vote, which means the lines are going to be longer, which means that that is a deterrent to voting because it's not a holiday. So a lot of people have to go back to work. So they only get so much time to vote. So these are affronts to democracy. It's an affront to jobs. And the reason why I say it's an affront to jobs is let's look at what's happened to jobs and people working. People working more and more are getting paid less and less, which means they're not able to afford as much means that they have to work two jobs. That's time out of their life. So these people who they don't even represent their own people. The biggest thing they've done is convince poor white people that all black people are such a large threat to them that these poor white people vote against their own interests in keeping people like Ted Cruz in office, Josh Hawley in office, voting for people like DeSantis to be governor, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we need people to come in like Angela Jeter to flip the script because we better flip it soon because once they redistrict and Texas gerrymanders to keep those new arrivals from having voting power, that just prolongs it. And really, Lee, if you think about it, they are reconstituting the Confederacy in the 21st century.
Is that the big lie you were talking about, the great lie you were talking about?
No, it's titled The Big Lie, and the big lie comes from Adolf Hitler. That's what he would do, is he would tell the big lie. The big lie by X-45. And what it is you tell a lie, something that's not true. You say it boldly, and you repeatedly say it. Because the more that you say something, anything, but in this case we're talking about a lie, and the more people of status that says it, the more true it seems to people who hear it. Because, hey, this person wouldn't say something that outrageous if it wasn't true. He or she is somebody. They wouldn't risk their reputation on something that wasn't true. And if you have natural proclivities to lean towards that person's or that person's ideology in the first place, you're more apt to believe the big lie. The big lie is something that we've been talking about for years now here at the gathering and at some of our in our reading clubs. And we're seeing the big lie that propelled Hitler into power. And people say, well, don't compare Hitler to anybody today. Well, I agree you should not falsely compare it, but here's the reality. The big lie was made famous by Hitler, and it was made famous again in the 21st century by X-45, and is being perpetuated today by his acolytes like Lindsey Graham, like Kevin McCarthy, like even Moscow Mitch. These people are perpetuating lies. And by the way, it's being pushed by propaganda and disinformation from Russia to destabilize our government. These people have become de facto agents of Russia. They don't even have to send them over here anymore. The Republican Party has now become Russian agents. So the big lie is basically telling something so outrageous and or telling something that's untrue over and over again that people believe it, because one reason is they couldn't imagine someone would say something so far out there that wasn't true.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we have not been checked in with by Angela as of yet. So I think she's out. I know she's out visiting one of her counties. So, you know, she's out on the road doing her thing, campaign, and that's what, that's what's necessary if you're trying to win a damn race. You got to get out there and shake some hands, kiss babies. And the other part of that is you need to get some money. So those in South Carolina, if you're listening, look her up. Again, Angela Jeter. Angela Jeter. Jeter is spelled G as in golf, E-T-E-R. Look her up. See if you agree with her platform. And if you do, click the donate button and give the sister some money, because she's going to need as much money as she can muster in order to win this daggone campaign. But she has some firm footing, without a doubt. You know, she's been a county chair for the Democratic Party. So she's definitely put the work in to get herself known around the state, which is good. She plans on going to all the different counties and spending time with the folks on the ground. She made her announcement in the upstate. South Carolina is divided in three parts, the upstate, the Midlands, and low country. So she made her announcement in the upstate. And like I said, from there she'll go around and hit all the counties once, maybe even twice, before this thing is all said and done. But she has a very bright future, and we're looking forward to supporting her as she climbs the ladder, hopefully in the near future. But if not in the near future, then just in the near future. We're patient enough to wait. South Carolina and others would benefit from her experience and her energy, though, without a doubt. You're talking about a young lady that is a money hawk, without a doubt. She's very much still conservative. You know, she comes from a conservative state, and that is her upbringing. However, she's liberal in a number of other views. So she is that perfect mixture that you would want, especially as we continue to evolve as a society. You know, We need to worry about the purse. Yes. We need to worry about the people. Yes. And it is possible that we can do both at the same time. Yes. It is very much possible that we can do both at the same time. So, again, we congratulate.
Lee, you know, my people originated in this country in South Carolina. That's where we were slaves. And when they were freed, I shared on the show that they moved up to North Carolina. Tim Scott needs to go. And so if I need to go back to South Carolina and help Angela campaign against Tim Scott, I will. And as you know, I don't want nothing to do with COVID-19, and I think airplanes are petri dishes for COVID-19 just like they were for flus and cold.
How you going to say that for, and your boy is living proof that that is not true?
I'm on a plane. Proof that it wasn't true for you.
For me. I'm on a plane this week Saturday because my nephew's graduating from college, so we're going down to celebrate that. And then I'm back for what is it, Ronnie? What, a week and a half? And then it's Tulsa. It's for the 100th commemoration of the attack on Black Wall Street. Oh, good Lord. So, yeah. And then, you know, you and I were talking yesterday about coming through. Oh, by the way, Thomas is going to make it. So I'll be there. Thomas will be there. So I'm sorry, family. You know, we keep talking like you all aren't here, right? So I'm going back to Vegas. So we're going to do another family reunion in Vegas. Rodney, Thomas, and I will get together in Vegas, and we'll do it up. Sister Rashi, unfortunately, wasn't feeling well today, so she couldn't make it today. So since she couldn't make it today, she can't go to Vegas. It's just that simple. It just works that way. I'm sorry. I mean, the plan was if she came to work today, then she got to go to Vegas. She didn't come. She doesn't go to Vegas. I'm sorry. It just is what it is, you know. Sucks to be her, huh? But, yeah, nah, really, pulling for you, sis. Hopefully you're feeling much better. After today and whatnot, you know, we got your bag without a doubt. But yeah, we need to sit back and really coordinate some business. So it makes sense to go back out there with everybody to make it work. You know, we have been apart for long enough, and getting that FaceTime is invaluable. It really is invaluable. So I'm looking forward to it. I wasn't going to do it. I really wasn't. But my nephew is graduating from high school at the same weekend that I'm going to Tulsa, and he's in Dallas. So I had to move up my trip in order to make his graduation. Because my sister calls me, and she says, are you coming to the graduation? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, all right, well, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. 8 o'clock in what morning? Saturday the 29th, fool. In the morning? Yes. Shit. So I had my ticket for the day. I didn't know it was 8 o'clock in the morning. I thought it was going to be later. So I actually, my original ticket, I got there at like 10. So I'm like, well, that's not going to work. And that's the earliest that I could have gotten there with that airline. So I had to scrap that all the way around, switch out, and hop on another airline to get there. So it is what it is. I'm fortunate enough to be able to do stuff like that, thank God. You know, I have benefactors and stuff like that. You know, Rodney Smith is always a benefactor. So I'm like, you know, hey, when you got people like that in your back pocket, it's like, how can you say no? But, yeah, because of that, I canceled that ticket, which meant I had another credit on the damn airline. I'm like, I got like 4 fucking credits with the damn airline. I got to start using some of this money before I lose it. That's not going to happen. So that's when I called Rodney. He's like, yo, I'm going to come back out. He's like, that's what's up. He's like, call Thomas. I was like, all right, that's what's up. So I called Brother Barry. And he said he'd come in as well. So, yeah, we in there like last year, man. So we're looking to have a really good time. It's going to be another short one, but it'll be worth it. You know what I'm saying? I tell you, I swear for the Lord, I hate staying at hotels in Vegas. That freaking resort fee is ridiculous. What, yo, is that even legal, Rodney? Is that resort fee even legal?
It's legal because they made it legal. It's passed into law.
Holy crap, dude. Okay, I guess it is. But
every time I look at it and I think about it, it makes my skin crawl. And definitely hurts my pockets. It definitely hurts my pockets. But it damn sure makes my skin crawl. I ain't even going to lie on that.
People, before the pandemic, 40 million, I think it was, yeah, I think it was 40 million people were coming through our airport.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, there's only 3 million people barely in the entire state.
Oh, wow.
And so the type of tourism, visitor traffic to Nevada, primarily to Las Vegas, Reno gets some love too, but primarily they're coming to Las Vegas, is huge. And
right.
So the way that they keep the property taxes down and some of these other taxes down is, and so that we don't have city tax, you know, we don't even have a state tax, is they get those people coming here to pay for a lot of the stuff. And
oh, wow.
So for us who reside in Vegas, or and I say Vegas because we have like 2 million people, but the reason why it's supported is because we don't have to pay it. The people
gotcha.
Who come here pay it. So that's why
gotcha.
You're getting it, brother. And we thank you and all the people who visit for helping us keep our taxes down.
I damn sure know you do when you move.
Yes, we thank you for employing so many people because, as you know, the hospitality industry is like the biggest industry here, along with federal workers, and believe it or not, mining. The mining industry is huge, but they're not paying their fair share, and hopefully our governor and legislature will do something about it, but not just the governor and legislature. I just want to remind everybody, in a democracy, is the people. When the legislatures don't do, it's because we didn't make them do it, just to put it plainly. And so when there's things that's out of whack, that means it's out of whack because we didn't do our part to force them to be in alignment. Lee was talking about the need for Angela to raise money, and people say, well, I don't like people calling me, texting me, and knocking on my door, all of that. I experienced that when I was campaigning. But then on the other hand, they'll say, well, so-and-so didn't talk to me personally, right? So if you don't want us coming to your door, you don't want us calling, you don't want us texting, you don't want to see all the commercials, then how do we communicate with you?
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So those are the next. Oh, and by the way, in order to do those things costs a lot of money. So whatever the mode of communication is acceptable to you that we don't know until we do it and get the door slammed in our face or get run off with guns like what white people were doing to black door knockers here in Vegas, right, it takes money. The vote is the most important thing, but in order to get the vote, we have to communicate. In order to communicate, we have to spend money. And most of us don't have that much money in our bank accounts, which means we have to ask, beg, cajole the voters for that money. If you want us to do less asking for money, then let's change the way that we communicate. How about reaching out to the candidate, setting up appointments with the candidate, establishing barbecues, your own barbecue, instead of asking the candidate, well, can you do a barbecue and I'll bring people out? Well, yes, I can and I appreciate it, but it costs the candidate money to do the barbecue. So what I'm saying is we have to look at how can we change the dynamic so that the process, the practice of having to get money, raise money, it usually you spend as much time raising money as you do meeting people and finding out what their needs are. And that's something that needs to change. For Angela's race,
I'm out here in Vegas, and I'm going to send her some money. If she needs me to text people, I'm going to text them because I think it's that important. And I don't need to be paid for it because it's my civic duty.
Hal, I want to hit on something before we get out of here, and I really want to close out on this, our discussion about this. The Republic, the GOP still seems moored by Trump. Even though he's no longer the head of the party, it still seems to be at his beck and call. There can be no more evident of that than what's happening with Sister McCarthy, right? As they're chasing her out. Liz Cheney. I'm sorry. Why the hell do I think McCarthy? Whatever. Liz Cheney, as they're chasing her out. Do you see a future in that?
When you say future, what do you mean?
With them still following his beck and call, or being at his beck and call, do you see a future in that? That's beneficial to the Democratic Party?
Well, it's a mixed bag, but here's the reality. Even though X-45 is no longer in office, he is the head of the Republican Party. It is not is not Mitch McConnell. It's not anyone else. 45, and Lindsey Graham, as much as I dislike the dude, he actually told the truth, sort of. I think it was yesterday, when he said he cannot see how the Republican Party can win without X-45 because they're so far racist, not conservative. They're racist. They're white supremacists. Mm. They're fascists. Again, let's call it what it is. And that is a small percentage of the country, even though they got a lot of votes. So, for them, they're making a calculation that because they control so many state houses and so many state legislators, that they can change the rules that can keep them in power and also keep them in the money because they're grifting on us. So because of that, I would say that that is true right now. And even if more people move to places like Texas, and Georgia, it's because of the gerrymandering. It doesn't take them out of power. This is one time, Lee, where the concept of America being a democracy and the power being with the people, where we're going to have to prove it to the rest of the world by the people showing up in the largest numbers ever, larger than in this 2020 election, and showing up to vote, to extricate, not just vote, but to extricate fascism out of the United States of America, out of government, out of the military, out of the police force, because if we do not, the rot will continue. Not only will the rot continue, but violence against people, first black people, then Latino Hispanics coming into the country that we actually need. Now we see a resurgence of violence against Asians. This is not new. This is historic, actually. It's just coming again. Brother, if you all hear me, I hope that you hear the passion in my voice because this is serious. There is no greater threat to your children's future and to you today than what is going on in the Republican Party. They have to be depowered. They have to be removed. And every fascism has to go. And unfortunately, the Republicans have embraced it. Therefore, they have to go. But in the process, we have to create something else because we cannot be a single party rule country because that breeds autocracy, and that is also bad.
And, you know, I was going to say that I hadn't seen the general all morning, but now she popped up. So, good morning, General. I think she slept in a little bit today, and that's cool. But, Rodney, I can't say it much better than that. I'm looking at it as this is a small block, as you said, very small block of the country. It's a powerful block if they step in unison and they start the infighting or keep the infighting amongst one another, and then they're able to get assistance from outside sources to disseminate false information amongst the masses to keep them guessing and or just off their square. And that's all you need in order for that small block to become a powerful block or the most powerful block to run up the middle. We saw it before. We saw it in the 2016 election. It can happen again. So we need to guard ourselves against it. We need to go out and have our voices heard and make them known at the ballot box. Every election is local. Say it again. Every election is local. It starts with who you put in your state house, who you put as the attorney general for your state, the governor of your state, the speaker of the house, or whatever you have in your state. It starts there. Make sure that they are representative of your interests. Make sure that they are representative of yours. The Republicans took issue with the Secretary of State of Georgia. Why? Because the Secretary of State of Georgia stood up to Trump and his cronies and said, we're not doing that, which he was supposed to do. So they ended around him and stripped the power from him if he's in office again when the next election comes around. Really? That's what they did. Family, again, we were holding on, trying to get Angela on the phone. Unfortunately, she was able to join us this week. Hopefully, we can have her next week. Sister Rashi, hopefully you feel better next week as well. We look forward to putting all the pieces together. I think I'll be stable for the show next week. I'm not sure if I'm flying during the show or not, so we'll talk about that so I can firm that up. And we'll make sure we're set and squared from that. But until then, Ronnie Smith, thank you for your time, sir. You be safe out there on the road. Everybody else, thank you for listening live or later. We will see you when we see you, which is next week. Until then.